is good. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. Thank you for being in the house of God this morning. Amen. Glad that you made it a priority to come to church. Amen. I do not believe that you are here by accident, but I believe that you're in the divine will of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 24. The Bible says, another parable putting forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, there's a danger in sleeping when we're about to be in the harvest. The Bible says when men slept, the enemy, his enemy, came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? It's like, what are you doing? Tares have grown up. What kind of seed you throw in? From whence then hath it tares? And he saith unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while we gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Verse 30, he said, let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. I want to just talk to you a little bit on this thought. Don't worry about the tares. Look at the person next to you and say, don't worry about the tares. If you don't have a person next to you, point to yourself and say, self, don't worry about the tares. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. One of the most important kingdom principles that we should understand is the principles of the law of the harvest. And that simple principle is this: you get what you plant. I know that just blows your mind. And you've come on a Sunday to say, wow, I've never heard that before. But I'm here to tell you that the law of the harvest still remains today. And that is, you get what you plant. Meaning, if you plant potatoes, someone said potatoes. Others say potatoes. But if you plant potatoes, you will not reap tomatoes. You will reap potatoes. If you sow tomato seed, you're going to reap tomatoes. You get what you plant. And so if you want to change what you're reaping, then you've got to start changing what you're planting. Meaning, if you're not happy with what you are reaping, you need to change what you're sowing. Because you could change what you're reaping by simply changing what you're planting. Can I tell you this morning that far too often we have a tendency to blame all of our difficulties and life's tragedies and our current problems, we like to blame them, Brother Archie. We like to blame them on the devil. The devil made me do it. It was the devil's fault. The devil is out to get me. Can I just tell you today that we give the devil too much credit? We blame him for our problems. We want to say, it's his fault that I ran out of gas. Well, no, it wasn't. You saw the gauge on E. And it didn't mean that everything was okay. It meant that, Bubba, you better fill it up because you're running on empty. It was the devil that gave me a blowout in the tire. No, knucklehead, you saw the steel protruding from that tire a long time ago. And it was you. You didn't want to spend the extra dough to put another tire on there. And now we blame the devil on what we should have taken care of. Does that make sense, anybody? We give him too much credit. A lot of people that have financial problems, it's related to undisciplined spending. Well, you know, it was the devil's fault for getting me that new car. No, it wasn't. It was your fault. Well, you know, at first on a Sunday night, you said, you know, God blessed me with this beautiful 2017 Cadillac Escalade. And we're like, really? And the next month you're saying, the devil gave me a $1,300 a month payment. Well, no, he didn't. You did it. As you try to buy something to impress people who didn't care. You try to keep up with somebody that you should not be trying to keep up with. And so the financial problems are not the devil's problems. It was your undisciplined spending. I know that's meddling a little bit, but try to live within your means. A lot of us struggle from paycheck to paycheck is because we're buying things we don't need. Well, Pastor, no, you don't need that. I've got clothes hanging in my closet that are over 20 years old. And my wife's like, baby, you need to get a new wardrobe. No, I don't. Now, I do know that they're starting to shrink a little bit. And I need to put some elastic on them or something. No, I need to undisciplined eating. I need to make sure that I'm being disciplined on saying no to the brownies and no to the cheese bread. But we blame a lot of things on others when in fact we're the ones that are sowing the seeds. You get what you plant. It's the law of the harvest. And so if you're not happy with what you're reaping, the question is today, what are you sowing? What are you planting? Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says this, be ye not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. Quit blaming it on everybody else. You're trying to appease the flesh. And the Lord says it's the law of the harvest. What you sow to the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh. But thank God he doesn't stay there. Because he goes on and says, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You get what you plant. You get what you sow. Can I tell you, if we want God to bless our mess, and we want God to bless our homes and bless our kids, we must first start by sowing good seeds. We've got to learn not to sow to the flesh, but we've got to learn to sow to the Spirit. And the way we learn to sow to the Spirit, Brother Tony, is we've got to put God first. God never responds to second, never responds to third. He's always got to be number one. Can I tell you, we can't change the past? We'd like to, but we can't. We can't change yesterday. Understand that. But Sister Lupita, we could change today. And we could change tomorrow. And we could change the week after that by simply sowing good seed, by planting the right kind of stuff. And if we want God in our homes and we want God to bless our homes, then we've got to sow the right kind of seeds. We must give ourselves to sowing in the Spirit. So you say, well, Pastor, I want to sow in the Spirit. How can I do this? I'm going to give you three secrets to how you could revolutionize and you could turn around circumstances in your home. Number one, I'm going to start learning by knowing to bring into my home. I'm going to start sowing seeds of prayer. That's a great starting point. Because the only way that's going to happen is I've got to now start praying in my home. We got a lot of people that like to talk about prayer. We got a lot of people that say, well, Pastor, I believe in prayer. But you don't pray. If you don't practice what you say you believe in, you don't believe in it. Well, I believe in all-night prayer meetings. Really? When was the last time you had an all-night prayer meeting? Well, I believe in finding my place in my house, a closet of prayer. Really? When was the last time you went into your house and you really shut yourself into prayer? I'm not here to condemn anybody, but I'm here to tell you, if you're going to start sowing seeds in the Spirit, then you've got to practice what you preach, practice what you proclaim, and we've got to give ourselves to prayer. Thank God for Monday night prayer meetings. We've had Monday night prayer meetings, I don't know how long, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, for the last 5+ years, we've had Monday night prayer meetings. And I pray that it continue. And I pray that it would not stop. But listen to Pastor, you can't just live on Monday night prayer meetings. I want you there on Monday night prayer meetings. But wouldn't it be cool if you started to begin to call your own prayer meetings? And you didn't wait for Monday night prayer, but you said, you know what? In the Godinez home, we're going to have Tuesday night prayer in our home. In the Rico home, we're going to have Thursday night prayer in our home. And you make a declaration and you start praying in your home, I'm going to tell you what will happen. It will start becoming contagious. And you'll start seeing the effects of prayer. We had a music at a leadership meeting last week or the week after, and I poured into them that we've got to stop trying to be professional about this. We can't just try to sing the right part and lead the right agenda. We've got to be men and women given to prayer. Howbeit these things come but by prayer and fasting. James 5:16 says this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What's a righteous man? It's doing the right things. What is the right thing? It's learning to stay in prayer. I'm talking to our music team right before they practice and right after, and I'm telling them, we've got to start by prayer. Thank God you hit the right notes, and thank God everything sounds right, but I could care less if we hit the right notes or not. Now, there'll be people in our pews that'll say, ooh, that don't sound good. And 9 times out of 10, the reason why, because they're carnal. And we want that carnal mind, the fleshly carnal mind, to be appeased and pleased by what they hear. Because they just come for the concert. They just come to feel good. But I'm looking for people that may not hit the right note and maybe off key. I'm looking for people that are giving themselves to prayer, because that anointing begins to take on, and somebody on the seat, it may not really sound good physically, but spiritually you're connecting to this, because there is an anointing that the Bible says will break every yoke, and it's all because people have given themselves to prayer. They have plugged into prayer. And what we've got to do in this world that we live in, we've got to turn the TV off. We got to shut the computers down. We got to turn off technology. And we've got to be given to prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and pray. This ain't a new thing. This is something that will never, you can't exhaust the top of about prayer. The Lord says, if you'll pray and seek me and turn from your carnal ways. That's what wicked ways is. It's planning to the flesh. And the Lord says, you stop planning from the flesh, then I will hear from heaven. You know what God wants to do in your family? He wants to heal your family. You know what God wants to do in your marriage and your finances and your kids and your job and everything that you're involved in? He wants to heal every aspect of that. But the only way he can is you've got to give yourself to the Spirit and you've got to give yourself to prayer. Our homes have got to be a house of prayer. Let it start with prayer. Let it end with prayer. Get prayer down on the inside of your heart. It's like David said, as the deer pants after the water brook, so does my soul pant after thee. Don't let prayer become a drudgery. Don't just pray because pastor says you need to pray. Don't just pray out of obligation, but pray because of a hunger and a thirst to really get close to God. When you think about it, there's a God that wants to heal you. There's a God that wants to forgive you. There's a God that wants to talk with you. There's a God that wants to bless you. There's a God that wants to give you all of heaven's resources. We would be a fool to say, I ain't got time for that. I got time for this. I got time for worldly amusements. I've got time for the games. I've got time for Facebook. I've got time for golfing and baseball and all this stuff. But none of that, Brother Alex, can bless me. None of that can get me out of the trap of sin. None of that can heal my body. But there is a God that says, if you start sowing to the Spirit, you'll begin to reap life everlasting out of the Spirit. God is saying, you get what you plant. You get what you sow. And you need to go home today and get into your house and say, my house shall be called a house of prayer. That's a number one seed. That's a great seed. How about this second seed that God can use us? Because I'm telling you, if we can get a hold of this, we can start seeing the supernatural. We don't have to follow after that. It follows after us. But we plug into this and God begins to bless us. So a first seed that we begin to plant is in prayer. How about a second seed that we can plant that needs to be in our home? How about this? Where God's word becomes alive. If we want God to speak to us, if we want and desire God to give us a word from heaven, then Matthew 4, verse 4 has got to be in our hearts. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Shame on us if we only open up his word when we come to church. I submit to you that if we want to see the book of Acts revival continue in this day and continue in this church and continue throughout this world, that we must give ourselves to the word. Acts chapter 6, 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You want your kids to be blessed? You got to sow in the word. You want your family to be blessed? We've got to plant seeds in the word. You want your home blessed? We've got to get into the word. Start sowing seeds in the word. Start planting some seeds in his word. As we have what this world needs, we have what this city needs, and we can't expect them to grasp it if we don't first get it for ourselves. Somebody shout, we need the word. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is quick and sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. A powerful word that knows the intent of this heart before it even speaks out. There is a power in the word. And I'm going to tell you, we will not save this world by our words. No, we will only save them by God's word. And that's why it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto man. Oh, study this word. Throw the seeds in there so you can be approved unto pastor. Pastor can tap you on the back and say, great job. Study to show yourself approved unto your spouse. No. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Someone that gives themselves to this. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm going to tell you, we will save this world not by our words, but we'll save this world by the word of God. And that's why we got to get it in our heart. That's why we got to plant it inside of here. That's why the word says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee, O God. By this truth and sell it not. There is no way that you could properly live for God by listening to what pastor says. Because there's going to come a time where we're going to say, Brother Landry, why do you do this? And why do you? Well, it's because ALC says we have to. Well, Brother Bonilla, why don't you go there? Well, because pastor says I can't. Well, it's become mom and dad. That's the reason why I can't. You got to get that word in your heart. If you don't get it in your heart, you become like a tear. The devil has got his hold on you, because if you don't get it for yourself, you'll be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Can I tell you, heresy, and I've said it before, heresy is derived by some truth. Some truth. And if you're not rooted and grounded in the word of God, you'll believe a lie, and the Bible says, and be damned. Because it sounds good. I'm not rooted and grounded in this. I haven't studied. I haven't got it for myself. I'm not really a workman that rightly divides the word of truth. And it sounds good. Well, maybe pastor is wrong. Maybe the church doesn't really have, because it sounds good. The only way to defeat heresy is by sound truth. By full truth, by the word of God. People can refute your ideas, people can refute your opinions, but they'll never refute the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall endure unto the end. I'm telling you, you've got to get the word of God lodged down deep inside your heart. You've got to get it for yourself, and you've got to put it in your home. You've got to sow seeds of the word of God. Fall in love with it. Read about it. Meditate on it. Dwell on it. I guarantee you, if you will just spend 15 minutes a day of uninterrupted prayer and study of the Word of God, God will start speaking to you. Really. Because what's going to happen is you start giving God 15, it's going to turn into 20, and it's going to turn into 30, and now you're not worrying about the time. Now you're just enjoying it. And has it ever happened to you when you've been in prayer and you've been in study of the Word of God, and all of a sudden it was like a light just turned on, and it became revelation? Because God's word began to illuminate. And you said, well, I've never seen this before. And I read it time and time again, Brother Martin. But now God showed me something. And all of a sudden, that grafted word of God got inside your spirit. And what God was saying, I'm going to take care of you. And that's just the beginning. He's talking about sowing seeds in the spirit. So prayer, so word. What's the third thing that we could put into our homes and put into our marriages and put into our lives and put into our children? I tell you what it needs to be. It's got to be love. If you don't have love, you've missed it all. You're of sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. You got the gift of tongues. You sing like the angelic host. You're all that in a bag of chips. But God said, if you ain't got love, you ain't got nothing. I don't care how many times you pray. I don't care how many times you fast and read your word. And please listen to Pastor. I believe in praying. I believe in studying the word. But if you don't have love, you've missed it all. You got to have love. Because God is love. And you've got to learn to love people. Because we can't show love to anybody until we first receive that love. You know a lot of mean people? I know a lot of mean people. And I know a lot of vindictive people. And spiteful people. And those people are mean and spiteful because they don't like themselves. They really don't. They live in drama. They live in everybody's out to get me. It's all because they have not embraced the full love of God. Once you learn to embrace God's love, then it doesn't matter what anybody else does. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. When you get the love of God in your heart, you could be up that on that cross like the Lord was. When all the false accusations were railing against you. When you get the love of God, you're able to look at your accusers and say, I forgive you. I love you. I know those words that you spoke to me are hateful and despiteful and they don't feel good, but I'm telling you what, it's really not you. There's something going on with you, and I love you. I can't control them. Okay? You can't control anybody in this building. You may think you can. 20 years of marriage, can't control her. Had black hair, now I have gray hair. And yesterday, we were at the doctor's office. My boy got, you know, tall, and he always thinks he's taller than me, and he came up 5'8" and a half, and he said, Dad, you must be, he actually didn't say dad, he said, old man. Yeah, I need to talk to that boy. He said, old man, you shrinking. And I'm like, what? Sucker. But I can't control anybody. Only person I can control is me. Something you got to understand. I can't say this enough. I can't talk about that point enough. You can't control somebody else. Quit trying to blame it on your spouse. Quit trying to blame it on your family member. Quit trying to blame it on your coworker. Well, they're the reason I'm going to hell. They're the reason I'm not living for God. They're the reason I'm not coming to church. Quit blaming on somebody else. Well, I'm not going to that church because there's hypocrites in that church. There sure is. There's liars, and there sure is because you're here. Get the spotlight off somebody else and get the searchlight on you. God, search me. Purge me. Cleanse me. If there's anything that in me that displeases you, forgive me, God. Wash me thoroughly because I can't control them. I really want them to make it, but I'm not going to hang my relationship on what they do for you and what they do for me. I'm going to live for you because of you. You start changing you, everything else starts changing. Meaning, you're not going to get my joy. You're not going to get my breakthrough. You're not going to get my miracle. I'm not leaving the church because of you. I'm staying in this church. I want you to stay here. I want you to belong to this. But I want you to know, if you leave, I ain't leaving. I'm staying. Why? Because I got love there, and I'm hooked up with him, and I start sowing seeds of love. Why? Because he sowed it to me. The only way I can help somebody is I've got to get a hold of love. Once I get a hold of love, and I'm telling you, I could put up with pitiful people. Really can. Do I like putting up with? No, I don't like it. But I don't have to like it. I just have to love them. That's why the Word of God says, love your enemies. Do good to those that hurt you. Pray for those that mistreat and abuse you. I can't do that in the flesh, because the flesh says, you gone. You're excommunicated. I don't want to have anything to do with you. That's what the flesh says. The Spirit says, no, I love you. Realize you're going to hit my face. I'm going to turn around and give you the other side. It's all about love. Sowing seeds of love. And there is a world that needs to see the love of God shining through your life. Because here's the fact of the matter is, if God did it for you, he needs to do it for them. And what he did at Calvary is greater than any mistake that you've ever made. Romans 5:8 says this, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you. So love yourself so you can love others. Accept his love. Embrace his forgiveness. Forgive. And ye shall be, whoa. You mean if I don't forgive, I shall not be? I got to learn to forgive. But flesh can't forgive, only love can forgive. You got to get a hold of love. You get prayer in you. You get the word in you, and you get love in you. That's where John 13:35 comes into play. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, is that you have love one to another. What this world needs is love. What your family needs is love. Show them love. Love one another. Plant seeds of love. Start sowing in the Spirit, for you'll reap in the Spirit. Now I know this, what I'm telling you tonight, today, it's not easy, right? The kingdom is not easy. If the kingdom was easy, everybody would go into heaven. But broad is the way that leads to destruction. That's why it takes a real man and a real woman with backbone to be able to say, you know what? Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. But if not, if he don't deliver me, I'm still not going to bow. Because there is a God that loved me. And if he loved me, therefore I should love one another. And I should start sowing in the Spirit. You get what you sow. You get what you plant. I want to make sure that this world knows that I have love for them. This is kingdom material. It's the law of the harvest. It's living a step above. Not because pastor says it, not because the Bundle Life Center tells it to you, but because of a God. See, I live for God everywhere I go, not just here. There are some that only live for God in the pew. They'd only dress right and act right and live right in the pew. There have been a lot of times where people say, Pastor, if you know what they do outside the church, you know how they talk outside the church, well, I'm telling you, they're not sowing the right kind of seed because they're after the flesh. I could care how many laps you do and how many prayers you pray if you're not really living this. There'll come a time where the wind will blow. The fowls of the earth will see what kind of seed you are. God, I want to sow the right seeds. Because I've got generations to come that are dependent on this cat to make things different. You say, well, Pastor, I'm the only one living for God in my family now. Well, thank God for that. Break the curse. Your family sowed in the flesh. It's time for you to sow in the spirit. Let blessings come in your home. Let the anointing come in your home. Let the covering of God begin to take over you and saturate you. The only way it happens is you've got to learn to sow in the spirit. So we sowed prayer. We sowed the word. And we sowed love. Now notice what happens in Matthew 13, 24. But while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. I said it already, I'll say it again. There is no time to go to sleep. There's no time to take a back seat. There's no time to say, Pastor, I need to take a break. We ain't got time for breaks. We are closer than any generation has ever been before. And the enemy's crafty and the enemy's subtle. And we cannot afford to let the enemy come in and plant tares among us. But he does. And he will. The thing we've got to understand is I can't worry about the tares. I've got to worry about the wheat. I've got to worry about the right ones. I'm reminded of a lady that came to me several years ago in this building outside there. She said, Pastor, God just wanted me to talk to you. I said, okay. She said, everywhere I went, you were there. She said, I went by the casket and you were there. And I'm like, duh, I officiated at the funeral. I got to stand by the casket. I had to greet everybody. She said, well, I want to tell you something. I said, well, tell me. She said, you got a church that's racist. I said, really? She said, yeah. And not only were they racist to me, they were racist to my kid. I said, wow. You're probably right. We do. We got hypocrites in our church too. We got knuckleheads in our church too. This pastor does not condone it. This pastor is not racist. This pastor tries not to be a knucklehead. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm not. I try to be real. But I said, you're going to find people that you're looking for. I said, we may have hypocrites, we may have racists, but we've got good, loving, faith-building, kingdom-minded lovers of Jesus, love to plant the right seeds. We got those people in our church too. You just got to be careful on what you sow to. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you begin to say, wow, I'm going to think on things that are lovely and honest and good report. And if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, I'm going to think on those things. I'm not going to worry about the tares. I'm not going to worry about the knuckleheads. I'm not going to worry about the people that are negative and that'll say we'll never do it and we'll never have revival. No, I'm going to focus on those that are kingdom minded. I'm going to focus on those that'll give themselves to prayer. I'm going to focus on those that'll give themselves to the word. I'm going to focus on those that'll love one another. Why? Because if I can do that, I can sow in the Spirit and I can reap of the Spirit. So the question today is, what are you sowing and what are you planting? Because if you're not happy with it, you can change it. Because today's a new day. It's a new beginning. I haven't really given myself to prayer. I haven't really given myself to the word. I haven't really been a man that loved people. Well, change today. Quit trying to have a pity party and say, I'll never make it. You can make it. But shake it off. Put those shoulders back. Raise that head up and make that declaration. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to talk right. We're going to act right. We're going to dress right. We're going to love people, not by our words only, but by our actions. They're not going to be hearers only, but we're going to be doers of the word. And we're going to sow in the Spirit. Here's what you got to understand. Is what was trying to attack you, it'll be burned one day. Was trying to hinder you, it's about to be burned. Was trying to afflict you, it's about to be burned. Was trying to discourage you, it's about to be burned. There is coming a time in your life when all the attacks of the devil and the attacks of the tares are going to be put under your feet. Don't focus on them. Focus on God. Because I said in the beginning of this service, this fight that we're in, it's not our fight. The battle belongs to the Lord's. And it's not by might nor by power, but it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord. Psalms 18, I close with this. Verse 36, the Bible says, Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. You've done that, God. You've enlarged my steps. That at times I didn't think I could go on because I was weak. God, you made up the difference. I sowed what I could. I know it wasn't a lot, but I sowed what I could. The Bible says He enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. I ain't got to worry about the tares. I ain't got to worry about the attacks. I ain't got to worry about all the stuff that's going on in my family. Best thing that you could ever do is to make up your mind for yourself. I'm going to live for God. My kids don't want to live for God. My wife don't want to live for God. My husband don't want to live for God. If my mom doesn't want to live for God, I'm still going to live for God. Best thing I could do is become faithful. And say, I'm going to turn some things around. And I'm going to start planting the right kinds of seeds. And I'm not doing it for my family to come back. But I'm doing it because God's coming back. And I'm going to be faithful with what I have. And I'm going to tell you, you start being faithful. You start praying. You start getting into the Word. And you start loving people, things start to change. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for Him. That's why he said in his word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Doing the right things. Sowing in the Spirit. Praying. Reading the word. Loving. And all these things shall be added unto me. Best thing you can do for your family, live for God. Best thing you do for your prodigal son or your prodigal daughter is live for God. Because it's going to be your life that they're ever going to see Jesus through you. It's a tough road. I remember at 15 years of age, I'm done. I remember 15 years old. Brother Juarez, I made a commitment. I'm going to live for God. Santa Maria, California, senior camp. In the back row. Because I didn't want to get too close to the fire. But in the back row, God just changed this boy. Filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Very first time. And I came home from camp. So I lived 1 week with my dad, 1 week with my mom. I was kind of, it's crazy. I was Pentecostal one Sunday, Catholic the next Sunday. I was a messed up boy. But I remember coming home and I was just on that cloud that we say cloud nine. I was higher than cloud nine. I was high. As high as a kite. High on the Holy Ghost. But Scott, I remember just telling my mom what happened, excited. I got the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, for the next couple years, my mother's side, grandma, grandpa, everybody, thought I was a traitor to the Catholic ways. I abandoned the traditions. And I just made up my mind. I'm gonna live for God. 15 years old, I'm gonna live for God. Well, that was tough. But I learned to sow in prayer, sow in the word. And I tried to love. It wasn't until Bible college that the roles reversed. I know I've told the story before, but roles reversed. And instead of at the Thanksgiving table praying, it's been so long ago, it's not the Our Father prayer. It's not the help. It's bless us, O Lord. He's about to, whatever, that prayer that the Catholics pray over their food. I was about to pray, and they stopped, Brother Alex, and they said, we want you to pray. Pray like you pray, what they said. And I began to pray. Roles reversed a little bit, Sister Lois. And it was then that the Lord started to change things. But it wasn't until, I think, my second year of marriage, I was teaching my mother an Endless Marvelous Light Bible study. And she caught the revelation. And she saw it. And a few years later, I baptized my grandfather in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I don't know how long it'll be for some of your friends, your family, to turn around and to see this and to catch the revelation. I don't know how long, but I do know this. That if you'll stay consistent and you'll plant seeds in the Spirit and you'll pray. See, some of us need to get that prayer back because you used to pray a long time, used to pray a lot. You don't pray as much anymore. If you'll give yourself to prayer, you'll give yourself to the Word, you'll start loving, God will start fighting for you. God will start turning things around. You ain't got to worry about the tears. Kind of worry about the attacks, because they're going to come. Okay? When you start taking a few steps toward the kingdom, it's like all hell breaks loose. You're like, what in the world is going on? I didn't face this when I was out in the world. Get your eyes on that. Children of Israel did. And they said, let's go back to Egypt. They forgot about the bondage. They were willing to go back because of the attacks. But you got to just keep walking. And when you keep walking, God begins to fight for you. And God wants to fight for you. God wants to bless you. God wants to turn things around with you. But don't do it for the stuff. Do it for Him. Get close to Him. Love Him. Sow the right kinds of seeds. Don't worry about the tares. Get your eyes on Him, and He'll give you the greatest harvest that you've ever seen in your life and in your family and your friends. And the doors will swing wide open, and prodigals will come home, all because you begin to sow in the Spirit. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Raise your voices. Raise your hands today. Come on. Keep sowing. Keep planting. Don't worry about the tares. For he that sows of the Spirit will reap of the Spirit. Don't focus on the tares. Focus on Him. Come on, lift up your voice. All across this building.
More than words can say, I need you more. I love than ever before. I need you.
Why don't you step out from where you are? Let's line this front this morning. Let's make a declaration in the Spirit. Let's throw some seeds in the Spirit today. Let us begin to raise our voice and say, God, you can count on me. I'll pray when nobody else wants to pray. I'll give myself to the Word. I'll begin to let love be the dialect of my home. I'll begin to sow in the Spirit realm. God, you can count on me. Come on. Come on. You can turn your tomorrows around. You can turn the next year around. You can turn your generations around by putting God where He needs to be. I trust in you, God. I believe in you, God. I'll fight for you, God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Than ever before, I need you, Lord.
I need you. I need you. I need you. Yes.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, God. I need you today.
More than yesterday,
I need. Put your arm around a brother. Put your arm around a sister. Let's sow seeds together.
Other words can
Hallelujah.
Say, I need you more than ever before.
I need
you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 This is a word, this is a message that you have to take home with you. You have to put this into practice. Thank God for the church, thank God for all this, but you got to take it home. Got to take it at your job. Take it driving down the road. Take it with you and let God begin to change everything about you. Don't worry about the tears. Just sow the Spirit. So if he can keep working on this knucklehead, he can work on every one of you. I'm a bigger mess than you are. And God still loves me. Hallelujah. And God loves you. Amen. Find two or three people. Love on somebody. Encourage them. Just tell them you can count on me. We're going to do what's right. We're going to live what's right. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. Come early for prayer. God's going to do a great work in our midst. God bless you.